We are studying in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was God's choice, not mine, because I know some other books I'd rather go through, but he wants us to study here. It's a book that was written to the Hebrews and then basically written to the church. And he started out talking to a group of Hebrews that were converted Jews. And what was happening with them was that they were struggling with the old Jewish system. And some of them were thinking about going back and getting involved again with that system and leaving Christianity. And the writer of Hebrews was doing what he could to explain to the people that Jesus Christ was victorious over all of the enemy, and that Jesus Christ was and is preeminence over all. He started out in Hebrews 1 talking about how God used to speak to men, how he used to speak to us. And it says that it was in diverse times, in diverse places, when God at one time spoke to us through the prophets. And it says in these last days that God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That was a pretty powerful thing at the time, because the priesthood system in place was how God spoke to men. And folks would go to Jerusalem to hear what God had to say, and they'd go to his men. And then some folks worshiped angels, and he spoke against that as well and said, no, there's one that is even greater than the angels, and his name is Jesus. And he spoke to us there and explained to us how that though the angels did have power, and though they were instruments in the hand of God, that the angels were not greater than Jesus. And then he spoke in chapter 2 and continued on about the angels and the preeminence of Christ over angels. And he taught a lot in this area, and basically continuing to hit on the fact that Christ is superior. I want to say to you today that that hasn't changed, that there is none greater than him, that there is no name higher than his name, there's no power greater than the power of Jesus. And, you know, we've come from different walks of life. I've come from a very diverse religious backdrop. I started out in a primitive Baptist Sunday school. Well, I don't know that I got saved, but they told me about Jesus. I kind of liked him. He seemed to be a real nice guy, you know. And the artwork that they gave us and all that was pretty neat artwork, and they sent us home with different little things and little projects. So I like Jesus. But then when I stopped going there, that was pretty much it with Jesus. And so I went through a whole lot of different changes and different views. And I studied religion in so many different ways and so many different types of religion, looking and looking. I even joined the Masonic Order and looking for something, but not sure what it was. But I knew that it wasn't in that order. And the way I saw things happening, I didn't see what I needed, which was love. And so I kind of bounced around in and out of there and everything, and I messed around and come up and wind up with Jesus. I say that's what I'm looking for. You know that I wrote a letter. I wrote a book, read a book. I wrote a letter to the Masonic Order that I was a member of, and I told them in that letter, and there's a copy somewhere in my small stack of things there over the years. And I told them, listen, I joined your order there, and I was looking for something, but I never found what I was looking for. But I wrote to let you know that I did find what I was looking for, and his name is Jesus. And so with this letter, I am requesting that you remove all of my information from your system. You delete my name as a member of your organization. I'm no longer considered a member of your organization. I never did get that letter back, and I never did get a response. So bless God. You have to sever those ties. You got to sever those ties. I mean, you know, they talk about familiar spirits and curses and family curses. And look, the old time religion was good enough for mama, but it ain't good enough for me. Amen. I need the word of truth. Hallelujah. It's good what they had. I'm sure that it worked for them. But brother, we're in a place and in a part of the world right now where we need truth. I don't need to just sing when the saints go marching in, go marching in, go marching in. I got to know how to fight this devil out here. I got to know how to overcome this world. The Bible says we are world overcomers. And I can't overcome by singing when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. I got to be able to say, in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, I will stand and not fall. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Now, listen. Listen, Jesus is preeminent. He is above all and through all and in you all. There's none greater than this Jesus. Now, listen, I understand that some folks got some power and they know how to do some stuff, and they can even take this Bible and go and find some stuff and read it and have folks not knowing whether they're coming or going. Yes, so that stuff ain't true. Keep thinking that. Keep thinking that. I ain't dumb enough. I mean, I've learned a lot of stuff, but I remember that. I dabbled in it some. Almost got killed. So you can't tell me that stuff ain't real. Okay, I didn't know Jesus at the time. So you mess around, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. But listen, when I hear about that stuff, and they must be trying to do this to you, I say, they better leave me alone. Because I don't have to say one incantation. I don't have to burn one candle, any incense. I just turn to my Jesus. The Bible says, touch not my anointing, neither do my prophet any harm. Somebody come at you in that way, you need to pray for them because they are in trouble. They got no business messing with you, and they should have sense enough to know not to mess with one of God's children. Because when they do, they got trouble with him. All right. I guess the Lord wanted that said. So that being said, let's go ahead and pray and get into our scripture today. Father, we're so glad today for your presence. We're glad for you, Lord. We're so glad for you. And thank you for what you did. You didn't have to, as my brother said earlier, you didn't have to do it, but you did. Oh, I thank you for what you've done, Lord. And we just glorify your name. I thank you for the people that are here, Lord. Brother Oliver, Lord, and with the anointing that you are placing upon his life, you placed on him, that's continuing to develop. For my sister Angela, Lord, who continues to search for your will. We know, Lord, that will is right there for her and that everything is going to be okay. For Brother Bobby, O Heavenly Father, who comes up and blesses us with his melodious voice and encourages us, Lord. And Sister Joy and Donald, who works with the Children's Church. Sister D and John right now, believe it or not, are with the children. They're serving as substitutes. Thank you for Bill, Lord, who comes religiously every Sunday. And he'll open his mouth and say stuff, and I say, Bill, you surprised me at how scriptural you talk. He don't quote scripture and verse, but the stuff he says is scriptural. And for Sister Irudale, who came to visit us today, we're glad to see her. But, you know, I know that Irudale is always with us. I know that she's a member here in her own heart. And she don't come because she can't come. But we don't forget her. We pray for her regularly. We thank you for what you're doing here. For those folks that do come that in their absence, for Janet and the others, Lord, we pray for them. I pray for traveling mercies for them. And Father, we're just so glad today that you have us in the book of Hebrews. And Lord, help us to discern the truths that you have for us as we study through this book. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I saw you, Bob, when you got up and that one leg didn't look like it wasn't even. I know about it, brother. I know about it. Circulation gets there finally. Yeah, thank God for getting old. Our folks don't make it then. They're leaving here at 2 and 20. Wherefore, holy brethren, verse 1. Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Wow, what a wonderful start. You know, the scripture says that not all Israel were of Israel, but only because the one thing about Israel, they were made Israel externally by circumcision, but it's the circumcision of the heart that makes one a Jew internally. And so there are two things that happen. And in the same way, in the same sense, a man may be a Christian in profession and not in heart. It's important. Anybody can go up and shake a man's hand. Anyone can say, well, I think I'm going to join the church, as they say. I'm going to become a part of this group. It's like joining a club, but this is not a club. This is a body. The real Christian is one whose heart is affected by the Spirit. Now, when I say affected by the Spirit, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. When I say affected by the Spirit, that is someone who is influenced by the Spirit. I mean, thank God we can get here and kind of get that little warm, fuzzy feeling we get sometimes with the songs, and sometimes something might come through in the message and you go, praise the Lord. And that's good. That's good. God is touching you. But does he touch you when you leave this building? That the influence of the Spirit is one that goes with you. I get the goosebumps sometimes. I go like, whoa, you know, the Willy Chili's kind of, you see. But when I'm out there, I need the influence of the Spirit of God to remain and move in my life. Well, so not all who are called Christians are partakers of the heavenly calling. And we have to understand that. You know, they say 40% of the people, and I'm just making this up, but it's a high percent. 40% of people in America claims to be Christian, they say. And then you go and follow them around and say, well, is that Christian? Wow. Don't look like much. See, so folks are making the claim, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are really true Christians. A Christian is a person that's Christ-like anywhere you find them. Anywhere you find them. Traffic? Sick? At home? I know a man. The man is going through all kinds of problems. He will not tell you. He just is sweet and good when you talk to him. How you doing? Well, I'm still saved, brother. I'm like, the Lord finally had to say, you do know that man is in pain. You do know that that man is struggling. He's not going to tell you. And all of a sudden, that man sort of becomes my hero, because he is just as open and loving as he's always been. And he's got trouble with his back, trouble with his legs, trouble with his feet. He got, his body is giving him a fit. And he's just as sweet and just as wonderful as always. And I say, well, I'm going to leave him alone, because he won't let me talk to him about it. You know, brother, he'll put Jesus on me when I start talking about it. He'll feel sorry for me. Now, we are to consider the apostle and high priest of our calling. And thank God Jesus is still operational. And believe it or not, he's interceding for us with God. He's the high priest of our calling. The Israelites had an earthly calling. They were called from Egypt. They were. And they were called from Egypt to go into the promised land. But Christians have a heavenly calling. We are called from this world to go into heaven with God. Our calling is different. The high priest of our calling. We should consider that and think about. And it's what it's saying. Think about as to gain knowledge of the apostle and high priest of your calling. This is the only time in history where Jesus is called the apostle. And the apostle, an apostle is a sent one. And so there are other apostles after him, but Jesus says, I was sent of my Father. And so in a sense, Jesus was considered an apostle because he was sent. He's our high priest right now because he right now intercedes for us in heaven. He's the high priest of believers. We are told to consider Jesus. Verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. The history of Moses is phenomenal from the beginning to the end. Do you know that the providence of God protected that man as a baby, and the hand of God buried him when he died? And in between all of that, we have things that he passed through, some of the strangest experiences, the things that he went through, the different changes of life that Moses went through. It was quite a story. You'd have to read the story of Moses to really to appreciate how great this man Moses was. He was a great man of God. He was in his own person. Moses was considered prophet. He was considered priest. And did you know that he was also considered king? Moses was. Yes, he was. There's a sense given in Hebrews about this term of faithful, being faithful. And it signifies one whom the secrets are confided with the utmost of confidence of their being safely and conscientiously kept. Faithful. It gives the idea of one where secrets are confided and you don't ever have to worry about them not being kept. That's the faithfulness. That's a great faithfulness. Do you know, I got to tell you this. I see people, they say, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell nobody. And you know they tell you because they can't hold it. Then they tell you and expect you to hold it. Now, come on now. Think about this. And I've been thinking about this. Now, help me with this. You can't hold it, but you want me to hold it. When I can't hold it, you get mad at me. That's what happens. They do. Why you told them? I told you not to tell nobody. You want to say, well, you told me. If you didn't want it told, you should not have told it. Now, okay, I'm better now. I've been needing to get that off my. I want to tell you something, but don't tell nobody. Well, you telling it now, so who's unfaithful? Who's unfaithful? Anyway, all right, it's all right, sister over there. The secret of God was with Moses, but all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge were in Christ. Life and immortality were comparatively secrets till Christ revealed and illustrated them. Life and immortality was somewhere cloaked in secrecy, and the only time men understood what it was when Christ came and revealed it to mankind. Wonderful. The divine nature was but little known till Jesus came, and it was Jesus alone who declared God to man. It was Jesus alone who was able to declare God. Moses received the secrets of God and faithfully taught them to the people. Moses did. But Jesus revealed the whole will of God to mankind, talking about the preeminence of Jesus over Moses. Moses was thus faithful to a small part of mankind, to the Jewish people. But Jesus was faithful to all mankind, for he was the light to enlighten the Gentiles, the glory of his people Israel. So Moses went for the Jews, but Jesus came for all mankind. That's a much greater stretch there in power. Verse 3 of Hebrews 3 says, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Now, chapters 1 and 2 of Hebrews taught that Christ is greater than the angels. I hope that we have that settled, just in case one comes stepping up in your room one day. You just want to know what God sent him for, but don't get down on your room flow and start worshiping an angel, because Jesus alone deserves our worship. Amen. So they taught of the angels. This chapter in 3, it teaches that Christ is immeasurably superior to Moses in his person. Moses was a man of God. Christ wasn't his God himself. Hallelujah. Moses was the fallen descendant of Adam. He was conceived in sin, and he was shapen in iniquity, but Christ was sinless and impeccable and holy. Christ was the immeasurable superior to Moses in his office. Christ was immeasurably superior to Moses in the office that he held. Moses was a prophet through whom God spake. Yes, he was. He was. Christ was himself the truth. He was the truth and is the truth. And he revealed perfectly the whole mind, will, and heart of God. He perfectly revealed it. He said one time, if I've been so long time with me and have you not known me, why are you asking me to show you the Father? If you see me, he said, you see the Father. That's what Jesus said. I am the human epitome of the Father. I am the representation of God in time and space. Because God is in eternity. But you want to see God? This is the best you can get as a man. You can't handle the truth in eternity. Not in our condition. God is helping us by not showing up in his true essence in this earth. We could not take it. I've had him come on me sometimes and fell flat on my face crying. Please, Lord, that's enough, that's enough. Wasn't no brightness, wasn't no shining. It was just him dealing with me. It's him dealing with me, and my flesh would collapse, has collapsed under that. Moses executed priestly functions. Exodus 24:6 and 32:11 tells us how Moses acted and executed the functions of a priest. But Christ is the great high priest. He's so much greater. Moses just executed. Christ is the great high priest. Moses was king in Jeshurun. In Deuteronomy 33:5 tells us that Moses was a king at one time. He was a king. But Christ is King of Kings. Hallelujah. Christ is Moses' king. To mention only one other comparison, Christ was immeasurably superior to Moses in his work. Moses delivered Israel from Egypt. I forget how many there were. 60,000, 20 million, I don't know. It was a lot of people. It was more people than one man should have to take care of. But they came out of Egypt, and Moses delivered the people out of Egypt. But Christ delivers his people from the everlasting death of burning, from the second death that he said. He delivers us from the second death. And it's hard to comprehend this, but the first death is appointed once unto man to die. We get it. We know it's going to happen. There's no way around it unless Christ comes. Yeah, that's where we're headed. We're still shocked and still surprised and still hurt about it. But we know that everyone in this earth will die one day. It's an appointment. See, well, this one died so young. Well, it was an appointment, not to be cold or anything like that. And I hate death. I hate it. But it's an appointment. 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, 30 years. I saw one person died 91 years old. God bless you, my brother. But you got some that leave much earlier. But listen, there's a second death coming that you don't have to worry about. But those outside of Christ, they got problems. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to take place. And Christ came to deliver man from that experience. They call it the lake of fire. See, folks talk about fire and brimstone sermons. It don't have to be a heated sermon. We just tell you, there's a lake of fire there. My brother, you want to miss that. That's called the second death. You don't want that. You could sit here and say that, well, when you die, you're gone, and that's it. You got a lot of changing. Because you're going to be surprised one day. You're gonna open your eyes, and as a rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes, you know. Not good. Moses built an earthly tabernacle. Christ is now preparing a place for us on high. He was a carpenter on the earth. He was the son of a carpenter. He's preparing. Can you, you know, I can't even imagine it. I really can't. I try. But listen, because the only thing we got is what we know. And so we think of building a house with a hammer and a saw and a nail, and he's preparing, you know, like we think about it here. But that's another dimension that he's in. It's an eternal dimension. It's a timeless dimension. It has no decay in that dimension. Things don't work the way there as it does here. So his building a place and us building a place is two totally different places. It's a completely different sphere of existence. There is no time there. The clocks don't tick. There aren't any clocks in eternity. There's no darkness, only light. The brightest and brightest of lights as we've ever seen, and they're unoffensive to the eyes. They don't hurt us. We can only take so much light, and we could go blind. But there, the light is greater than the light of the sun, which you better not look into. But that light, and by us being changed to be like him, we can tolerate it and it not affect us in the same way. So he's building and making a place for us on high. Moses could not do that. There's no way he could. Moses led Israel across the wilderness, but not into Canaan itself. Even Moses didn't make it into Canaan. But Christ will actually bring many sons unto glory. Bring many sons unto glory. I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will impress upon us what's being said here today. And listen, I can tell you these words, but the Holy Ghost, remember, is the teacher. And so the truth that you get is should be registering on the inside of you, meaning everybody hears it differently. Amen. God should be speaking to you on the inside. That lets me off the hook. You see, I do what I can. But God is the one by his Spirit that teaches. Verse 4 of Hebrews, it says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. So the house here signifies a family, or signifies a church. And so it's saying that every family has an author. Every family has a head or a governor. Man may start families, or he might find civil families or religious communities, and he may be the head of these things. But God, the Bible says, God alone is head, he's author, and governor of all the families of the earth. God alone is the head. So man may build, but God is the author of it. He's the author of the builder. Verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Moses was faithful as a servant in the house. But Jesus was faithful as the firstborn son over the house, of which he is the heir and governor. Moses was a faithful servant, but Jesus is the heir of the house. This is the conclusion here concerning this argument in reference to Christ's superiority to Moses. Moses did not found the house of the family. Christ did. Moses was but in the house, or one of the family. Christ was over the house as its ruler. Moses was but servant in the house. Christ was and is the son and the heir. That puts him over the servant. Moses was in the house of another. Christ was in his own house. His house belongs to Christ. And it's showing us the superiority. Now, I heard my brother say that there is no argument, but we're going through Hebrews, and Paul is helping the Hebrew people at that time who were struggling on whether to go back to the law and to abandon the newfound Christianity. There was not many scriptures. There was not much to hang on to. So what the writer of Hebrews was doing was he was helping them and giving them a reason. Don't go back to Moses. Because Christ is far superior to Moses. And so we're going through Hebrews, and we're teaching through it, and I'm thinking that while we go through, we can glean from this teaching of Hebrews some very important truths. And so that's why we're going like this and going through this as we do. Now, verse 7 begins to talk about something which we all need to be very careful about. It's called unbelief. Hallelujah. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith in verse 7, today, if you hear his voice means that's God speaks, harden not your heart. Now, when God speaks, he speaks in his written word. It comes in that way. He speaks to the preached gospel. It comes in that way. He can speak in our own conscience. God can speak to you in your own conscience on the inside of you. And I like that he can. If I listen to the word and not hearing the gospel, he can still reach me. He can stop me in my tracks. One day I yelled out because he was telling me something. Then I apologized. I got scared. Lord, I ain't supposed to be yelling at you. I don't mean that. I'm sorry. If lightning should have ever struck, it should have struck that day. I'm telling you, I've never done that before. But it was so clear to me that he was speaking to me. And I wasn't in the right place. That's why. So he didn't leave me alone. He kept picking. So I said, okay. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. Sometimes he'll speak to us through events that happen in our environment. He will. He'll do that. And sometimes he'll speak to us through admonitions through relatives and people we know. He could do that too. So y'all know how y'all are with your family. Y'all know y'all. Yeah, some of y'all family, you say, yeah, that old rascal, he can't tell me nothing. He need to get himself straight before he tell me nothing. You need to listen to him. He could be drunk as a skunk and start talking, and God could still be speaking to him. Y'all want to judge him because he's drunk. And so when he gets sober, then he talk to me. You better listen. This might be the only time wisdom come out that man's mouth to you. You listen now and weigh it. God could be using him. He spoke to a donkey. He used a rooster. You mean he can't talk to a drunk man? Maybe not always, but maybe you're not listening to the word. Maybe you're not listening to providence. Maybe you're not listening to preaching. Maybe that's all he got left is a drunk. You know, listen to him. You're in trouble. That's how he speaks. When the day that God's words come to you, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. In the admonition of relatives. He also speaks, and he conveys his truth through many other different ways. Verse 8 again says, harden not your heart. That means don't be insensible. Don't be stubborn. Look at me. Glasses are off. I don't want the glass to block this stare. Don't be stubborn. Say amen a little louder.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know who I'm talking to. Don't be stubborn now. I know about stubborn. Not from you, but from me. Don't worry. I ain't messing with you. I'm messing with me mostly. But we the same. We the same, though. We the same. So I can say this. It says, harden not your heart as in the provocation. That was a time when God's heart was embittered against the people. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, they were in the desert. Wilderness, they think about weeds and this thing symbolized desert. They were in the desert. When your fathers tempted me, that means they tried his patience and they tried his long suffering. And they proved me and saw my works for 40 years. They saw what he did for 40 long years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They provoked him. One provocation was they demanded bread in a place called Sin. A second, that was because they needed water in a place called Massa of Meribah. And the third time was at Sinai when they built that golden calf when Moses was in the mount. A fourth time was at Taberah. They wanted flesh to eat. They didn't want this, what they called light bread. It was called manna. This light bread. We don't know what it is. We want flesh. He said, I'll give you flesh till it comes out your nose. They went wrong with that. And the fifth was at Kadesh when they refused to go into Canaan. That was the biggest mistake. And the oath came that they would die in the wilderness. When he said that, you know, all of a sudden they wanted to try to change their mind. Okay, we'll go, we'll go. It was too late. He sent the spies came back, the spies didn't agree. Only two agreed. Joshua and Moses. They were afraid, they were very afraid. Because they said they were giants. God told them that was going to be what was going to be in the land. They shouldn't be surprised. But they still didn't go in. They said, okay. You won't go in. Everyone 20 years old and under will. But everyone above that, your carcass will die in this wilderness. They wanted to change then, but it was too late. Verse 11 says, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So here in verse 7-11 here in Hebrews comes from Psalms 95. It's almost a direct quote from Psalm 95, 7 and 11. And this is noted in Psalm 103. It says this, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Moses knew his ways, but the children of Israel saw his acts, or the actions that he took. Exodus 33:11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. Turn over to Numbers 12. Just to give you a quick example here of God with Moses. Numbers 12:1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Moses married a black woman. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly, that, you know, like your mama do when you get under skin. He spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. He said, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. That's like a parent saying, y'all get over here right now. And the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud, of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came. So he left Moses standing off to the side, and he called Aaron and Miriam. And he said, now hear ye now, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. So he's saying that that's how I speak to prophets. Exodus 71, 7, verse 1, the Lord called Aaron, Moses' prophet. But verse 7 here in Numbers, my servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, mean God, he will see God. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So by them speaking against God's servant Moses, he was angry with them. And if you read on, which we won't, Miriam was struck with leprosy as a result of that. Miriam paid the price for opening her mouth against God's servant. That's why I said earlier, if folks bother you, you should pray for them. They are in so much trouble. If they call themselves shaking some stuff down on you, some dust or something like that, man, get that dust up in the air and say, you better clean this up because you're messing up. God does not play with folks touching his anointing. You don't have to put up your dukes and get into a fist fight. You might, but you don't have to. Jesus Christ will fight your battles for you. If you trust and believe and trust him, he will take care of you. And let's rush back over to Hebrews 3, and we'll go ahead and make it past it. Starting in verse 12. Take heed, brethren. That means pay attention. Listen. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That is the lack of confidence in God. In departing from the living God, which the Bible calls apostasy. He says, be careful lest there be found in you unbelief. It's called evil. An evil heart of unbelief. But exhort one another. That means encourage one another. Lift one another up daily while it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. My brothers and sisters, sin is deceitful. That's how it all got started. The serpent deceived Eve. Sin does not ask permission. The Bible says in Romans 7, sin takes occasion. Sin is aggressive. It don't care. If it can get you to participate, it'll bring you in and show you the sweetest little thing and give you the nicest little experience. And it'll suck you in, suck you in, suck you in. And by the time you're in the room, the door is slammed and you want to get out. You can't get out because it's got you. You know? Don't be tricked by the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, now I could come up with a whole bunch of, but I won't. But some just rush across my mind, but no, I don't think you should share that. But we are made partakers of Christ there in verse 14. That means we've become one with him. We are made partakers of Christ. We have become one with him. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Now it sounds like you can give up. That's what it sounds like. that you could mess up and you can lose all this. Folks always talk that. But listen, you belong to him. You are not going to give up. You are going to hold your confidence to the end. But at the end, that's when it comes out that you held or you didn't hold. It's something that you got to go all the way to the end to see the end of it. And so there are a lot there that are saying, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, and they slip and they're gone and then they're not there at the end. At the end. That's what we're looking for. I want to end well. That scares me because I want to end well. It's going to end, but Lord knows I want to end well. Y'all pray for me, man. Yeah. You gotta stay in the game. You gotta keep going. I want to end well. The Bible says 15, while it is said today, that's right now, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as they did in the provocation. Don't do it. Persevere. In other words, today is right now. Persevere as long as life lasts. As long as you're alive, it says, harden not your heart as they did in the provocation. As long as you're alive, continue to hold on. And some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all, that came of Egypt by Moses. Now it makes it sound like there was 20% that didn't provoke, or that there was 40% that didn't provoke. There were only two people that didn't provoke out of that great multitude of people. Only two people, Joshua and Caleb, stilled the crowd that says, we can't go in. He says, stop this. Let's go in right now. We are able to take the land. They are bread for us, they said. But they shut them down and would not follow the directives of Joshua and Caleb. And because of that, the whole nation from 20 years old and over died in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb did not. Even Moses didn't go in the promised land. Even Aaron did not go in the promised land. It was Joshua and Caleb who survived that 20 years old and older thing. They were still alive and they went as rulers, as leaders. Because why? They believed God. And they stood up for God and said, we can go in and take the land. And everyone else was there saying, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb. So everyone else. So listen, if you look in percentages of how many folks in the church world are truly Christians, look at Israel. Of the tens of thousands of people, two went in. So everybody that say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you still need to keep one eye on them. Amen. You need to keep at least one eye on them. Now, I mean, not that you can't encourage them and be a blessing to them, but watch them, because we have got to hold this confidence steadfast until the end. And some folks kind of lose grip sometimes. And you find yourself in a situation, okay, no, that's enough of that. Verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? That was the whole tribe except two. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now I know we struggle with it, unbelief. But listen, Jesus said, that's how we come in, believing on him. That's how we remain. That's how we make it, believing on him. It's called faith. And we receive faith from him, and it's up to us to walk in faith so that we can benefit and enjoy what he has in store for us. Continue to believe, Bill. Continue to believe, Angela, Joyce, Samantha and Bobby. Keep believing, Sister Iridale, Beth, my brother, and our wonderful visitor back there. God bless you, my sister. Y'all keep believing in the face of all odds. And this world has a lot to throw at us. But in the end, actually, if you belong to him, really you can't help it. You're not going to walk away from this. This is the best deal I've received in my whole life. So let's end differently. Everyone stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. And I believe everyone knows the Lord here today. If you don't, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So Father, today we have studied you, the doctrine in Hebrews chapter 3. Spoke to us about Moses and how great he was, and yet you, Lord Jesus, who we belong to and who belong to us, is so far greater and superior to him. That's why we should not go back and pick up the law of Moses to try and live by it. The law was a schoolmaster, the word says, to bring us to Christ. We know that we should not kill, and we should not steal, and we should not have any gods before thee. We know that we should not have any graven images, and we should not covet our neighbor's wife or his ox or his ass. We know that all of these things should not be done because Jesus is in us, and he shows it to us. And all of the law is fulfilled in him. And so, no, Lord, we will not take up the law of Moses to live by. Because we know that Jesus Christ completely fulfilled the law in his life. And so, Lord, all of the people that stand here today, I pray that you will bless them and touch them. Father, go with them and give them direction and give them peace, Lord. Speak to their hearts, Lord, as only you can. And Father, we pray for peace that passes understanding. And Lord, I come against everything that's not like you. And Father, I come against every embitterment and every indifference, everything that separates and everything that destroys true fellowship. Father, I speak against it by the authority of your Spirit, that this will not continue. Lord, I pray that you release the spirit of companionship and love and joy and peace, that you'll teach us to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and encourage one another. And Lord, if we can't say something encouraging, help us to keep our mouths shut and help us to search for something encouraging to say and not be so quick, Lord, to destroy or to push down. Lord, have mercy on us today. And please help us. And we command everything that's not like you to go now in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, may they be filled again and again with your Spirit. And how we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.